Good morning and welcome to another Your Morning Tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin working our way through the halfway point of the work week. Hello.
It's that far already?
Yeah, Wednesday morning. I know. Wow. I said I used to not worry ever about weekends.
But lately you are?
Weekends are just weekends, but lately, yeah, it's just been one of those kind of summers where you go, yeah, I got to get to the weekend, man. All right. Welcome to it. It's Magnificat Radio here on MagnificatMedia.com, and we are your morning tradition, Mike and Lisa Austin. Later on, our friend Louis Tafari is going to join us and talk a little bit of... you ever wonder why we do exactly what we do in the Mass? Now, I know many people understand and know, of course, we genuflect in reverence to our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many things like that, but for instance, we talked to Louis about the history and the beretiquette, right? About why, where do we get the beretta and why sometimes it's
and
worn,
why
sometimes it's not.
There's three little fins.
Three little
and not
fins.
Four
and then the tassel and the stuff. Yeah. So anyway, this is what we're talking about.
It all means something.
Every now and then, have you noticed, some people kneel, some people don't. At your chapel, does this happen? Some people kneel, some people don't at the Sanctus.
I would have to say 95% of the time that answer is yes.
Depends. Is it a sung Mass? Depends. Is it not a sung Mass? Is it a low Mass? Is it a high Mass? It all depends. And sometimes people do different things.
The details matter.
It does matter. And I want everyone to do the same thing.
Oh, you do?
Well.
Because you like order.
I just think it evens out. But we should all be
together.
Doing, yes.
United.
Yes. In one in our faith. So anyway, that Louis is going to come and talk about that, and then I'm going to spring another one on him. I have a question I've been wondering for a while. You ever wonder, I'll ask him and you'll find out then too.
Well, okay.
Ooh, surprise!
Yay! I love surprises.
Things going on.
I don't
on
know in, about him, though.
In around the world, your world today here, Wednesday, August the 12th already. Continued prayers for the folks in Montana, Arizona, Northern and Southern California.
Because of the fires.
Wildfires like crazy. It's so dry out there.
Yeah.
Now, it's been dry here in Southern Wisconsin for about 3 weeks. It's been dry in California about 4 years. And those wildfires, one doubled in size overnight the other
right.
night.
I saw that.
You see that?
Yeah, it's sad.
And so, miraculously enough, did I say it right?
No.
Okay. There's been loss of property, but there relatively few injuries, if I remember right, reading that.
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm. Thank God for that.
Thank God for that. Exactly. So that's that. Tonight is your last night to check out the Perseid meteor shower, and it peaks tonight.
Ooh.
So if you have a nice clear night, and
we gotta check that out.
You can get out. I don't know what time. But tonight, Wednesday night, your last night really to see it well. It doesn't just stop. I mean, it tapers off. But tonight is the ultimate night, they say. So,
like fireworks?
Get outside. No. But, you know, Perseid meteor shower, you'll see one like every 3 minutes or something.
Yeah. It is quite a sight.
It is awesome. We used to live out away from town. Remember that up north?
Yeah.
You could see when the space shuttle would fly over. You can see the little dot in the sky. At least they told us it was that. Could have been, I don't know, aliens.
Satellites. You could see the satellites moving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Today's a Feast of St. Clair. We will have our saint of the day. And then I have a great story. Mom and Dad, if you can get the kids around the radio console, whether you're listening to us in the morning, even though we are your morning tradition, you hear us sometimes in the afternoon, at which time we become your afternoon/morning tradition. Get the kids around the radio console a financial literacy lesson from, believe it or not, someone in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those kids, you know, they come out of college and they make millions. They can really, I mean, if you're a star and you get signing bonuses, even some of the lower guys make $100,000 a year easy enough, right?
Uh-huh.
But then they go into debt and they buy the big car and the fancy house and they spend all the jewelry and the stuff. And then next thing you know, 2 years later, injury, career's over. I got no money. I'm going to tell you, one 27-year-old
who did it the right way.
And continues to do it the right way. Smart guy.
Good.
So that's coming up. And today is, Lisa, today what? Is Milkman Day.
Milkman Day.
National Milkman Day.
Do we even have milkmans anymore?
I don't know. Did you ever? Milkmen? Milkmans?
Yeah.
The men of milk.
That's right.
Did you guys have one when you were growing up?
Yes, we did.
So did we.
And an Eggman.
Wait, that shows you how old we are. You were the Eggman. No. I was the Eggman. Paul was the Eggman. Cuckoo, ca-choo. So, I don't know. A Beatles reference there again. It shows our age. Yeah, just because we know what a milkman is, that means we're old people.
I was really, really little, though.
Well, I was, too.
It was like an impression, you know, this strange man coming into my house. Who are you? This is my sanctuary.
Oh, our guy never came in. And in fact, we didn't have him at our house. My aunt had him up the street, my Aunt Miriam. And she had the Grimm's Dairy truck would come by. The guy had a white uniform and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, remember that with the hat?
No, our guy wasn't like that.
Oh, we had a white uniform and the whole nine yards.
No.
And a cool hat. Looked like a white military outfit, you know? All those guys. Anyway, so the Grimm's Dairy truck pulls up. No door on the side. He just run out the side of the thing. Back in the day when you didn't need a seatbelt.
That's right.
No door either. I'm a milkman. I'd jump out. So anyway, he would come up. Our guy didn't go inside. Aunt Miriam, we used to call her Aunt Minnie. She had a Grimm's Dairy, like, metal cooler thermal thing that always sat outside the front door.
Uh-huh.
Glass milk jugs. Remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the milkman did that.
Right.
And he would come take her empties and leave her cold milk with the cream on the top. And that foil, you peel the foil back off of the top of the
don't remember that.
Milk jug.
I just remember the man standing in my kitchen.
I am an old man. Maybe he wasn't the milkman, Lisa. Maybe just some dude just came and stood in your kitchen.
No.
No. Hi.
He had eggs.
Call me. I got eggs. I don't know who I am. I'm in your kitchen. Today is also Vinyl Record Day, making a comeback. They are.
Vinyl Records?
Vinyl Records. You can get the Louis Tafari. He told
me.
Louis, I'm going to ask him. Louis told me he's got one of those turntables you can get. It plugs right into the computer. It turns everything into an MP3 file.
Cool.
Yeah, I got to get me one of them. And it's World Elephant Day. Why? I don't know. I don't know why we have an elephant day. Go rent Dumbo or something.
Oh, it's such a sad show.
Salute the elephants. That was my elephant. Pretty good, huh?
Very good.
How can you know where you're going
if you don't know where you've been?
That's why we do this day in history.
We have made history.
Any day in history.
A day that will go down in history.
History of this day.
This day in history.
This day in history.
All right. It was, today, by the way, is August the 12th. It's the 224th day of the year, and there are 141 days remaining until the end of the year. I mentioned the Perseid meteor shower tonight. Today is also known in England, if you're listening to us in England, and I know we have some, right, don't we? Didn't
what?
You say there were people in England listening?
Yes.
All right. Today is the glorious 12th in England because it marks the traditional start of the grouse hunting season.
Wow.
Hello, let's go shoot some grouse. Right now the English people are going, oh, there's the American with his English accent again, which is terrible. All right, sorry. T'was on August the 12th in the year 1099, the Battle of Ascalon. Godfrey of Brough. He led the Crusaders in defeating the Egyptian army.
And in 1658, on this day, it's the first American police force. It was formed what was then New Amsterdam.
It then became New York, I think, didn't it?
I believe so.
All right. It was on this day in 1851, Isaac Singer, who couldn't sing a lick, but he could invent stuff, he came up with the sewing machine.
And in 1856, Anthony Foss patents the accordion.
Wait a minute. Stand by. I have a tribute to Anthony Foss.
Yay.
Because I love accordion music.
Joseph has one.
It's some of the happiest music in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, and now our tribute to the accordion and Mr. Foss. Ladies and gentlemen. Yes. That's just a big roll of happiness right there.
Makes me want to dance.
This is, of course, the French sound of the accordion. You say accordion in Wisconsin, they launch into beer barrel polka.
I love it.
I'm going to keep this as our bumper music. How long you want this to go? Are you having a tough Wednesday? Just latch onto our groove here, people. Okay.
Love it.
And also, we lost our history music, so we'll just go through it. Thank you.
Okay.
We can do the history to the... You want to do the history to the accordion?
Sure.
All right. 'Twas on this day... Oh, and a... I love the... 'Twas on this day in 1865, Joseph Lister performed the first antiseptic surgery. Basically, he just doused you in a bunch of rubbing alcohol and cut in.
Ooh.
Well.
And in 1877, on this day, Thomas Edison invents the Edison phone, a sound recording device.
I like Thomas Edison because all of his stuff originally, when he first invents it, he puts his name on to it. It's like the Edison phone, the Edison light. What is that? Well, that's I'm going to do that. It's the mic pen or something. Oh, and now here's one. It was on this date. We're going to wrap up here soon. I know we're out of time. It was on this date in 1898.
Yes.
Hawaii was formally annexed into the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay.
Yeah. Thank you.
You got it all decked out today.
Hello, Hawaii. Thank you for your dull pineapple.
Yeah.
We appreciate your pure cane sugar.
And on this day in
19... Thank you for your lovely bunch of coconuts. We are digging your sandy beaches and your poi. Well, not so much your poi. I could go without the poi.
Okay.
Oh, poi. Go ahead.
And on this day in 1908, Henry Ford's company builds the first Model T.
Oh.
Woohoo.
And it was on this date in 1950, Pope Pius XII published his encyclical, Humanae Generis.
Very
and now
good.
You know where it is you've been. Let's all sing. It's Hawaii Day. Hawaii Day. Sing along, Lisa.
No, thank you.
Okay. It's Hawaii Day. It's Hawaii. I don't know.
This is nice.
I'm torn. Do I want the accordion or do I want the slide guitar? And hand me my mandolin. I got a mandolin in the studio. My thanks to my friend Andy Borst, who sold me my... I don't know how to play it, but... Ow. Okay.
Okay, I think you need some lessons.
I think I need to take a break is what I need to do. Mike and Lisa Austin right here. No more. Come on, no more. Yes, no more. We need more Hawaiian music. We'll be right back. It's your morning tradition. Louis Tafari is going to swing in here and talk a little bit. Why are we kneeling when we kneel, and is it...
Do we kneel or stand?
Hello, Sanctus. Sanctus. Do we kneel at the Sanctus? Do we stand? Some people do, some people don't.
We'll
find out. It depends. We'll find out. Let's all play. Come on now.
Oh, no.
Join us now. Joining us now via the... the radio telephone link. I'm trying to make it sound more incredible than it is, actually. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Louis Tafari from Romanitas Press, where this man knows virtually, well, he wrote the, what was your book, Louis?
It's called The General Principles of the Ceremonies of the Roman Rite for Inferior Ministers.
That had to be a really big book cover to get all that on there.
No, it's just a half letter size. He just made it fit.
You can find it at romanitaspress.com. You're a .com, not a .org, right?
That's right, .com.
Excellent. Well, so welcome to the show. We're glad to have you on, and I think we've about solidified this thing. We might as well just let it out. Ladies and gentlemen, listen for Louis to have his own show. We're going to come up with a name, a really cool name for Louis. The Louis Tafari Show. I don't know.
We could call it the show from Kansas, Missouri.
There it comes. I'm never going to live that down, am I?
Or me.
All right, fine. Okay, so let's talk about what we're talking about today. I have seen, and not just our own chapel, but different chapels, where here comes the Sanctus. And it all depends, I think, on whether they're singing or not, but some people stand, some people kneel. What's right? What are we supposed to do there?
Okay, well, and that's a very good question. It gets to the heart of our participation during the sacred mysteries of the Mass. And we have to understand that the Mass is a social action of the entire Catholic Church, of church militant, you might say. And so the first thing I'd like to do is make a disclaimer, big, bold letters.
Okay.
I'm going to give you what the ideal practice is per the rubric, but please, if your parish isn't doing this already, Don't be the zealous one to try to be the first one to implement it. Consult with your pastor first and see what he wants to do.
Right.
So big disclaimer there. I did not give you permission to just start doing this if your chapel's already doing something different.
Okay.
They said. That's really important because we need to do things together. So, and there might even be good reasons why the pastor's like, eh, you know what, that is the best way to do it, but that's not my biggest fish to fry right now at this moment. I got other things I got to take care of. So
exactly. That's
not new in the church.
Would you advise someone, because at our place, I mean, literally it's like half up, half down, and no one has ever said, listen, I really want you guys to do it this way. Would you tell someone, listen, why don't you guys initiate it? Go to your priest and say, listen, well, what do we do, Father? I mean, should they take it into their own hands? Probably.
Certainly any of the faithful can bring the matter up to the pastor and you know, especially if they have the goodwill of saying, you know, we'd rather do this whatever the church's ideal is, but they need to leave the decision to the pastor in the end.
Right.
And if the pastor says, yeah, you're right, but at this point, I have these particular reasons, and he could have very good reasons, prudential reasons for not doing so at that time. So first thing is, I don't want anyone to get their scapular in a knot over
this.
That's
right.
as I
love it. I've used that several times since you said it, too.
So that's great. I got the copyright on that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So we need to cover a couple principles first. Background information before I can actually answer the question.
Okay.
So the actual rules or rubrics that govern how the faithful should act at Mass, whether that's the solemn rite, the high form, or the low form, comes from a book called the Ceremoniale Episcoporum,
Hello.
Which means ceremonial of bishops. And
okay. In
fact, that's the book, it's a rubric book, actually, and it contains the rubrics, the basic rubrics for solemn Mass. And this touches on how the clergy are supposed to assist from the chancel or the choir in the sanctuary, so during the Mass or during Vespers or whatever. So these are the clergy. They could be priests, they could be seminarians, they could be religious, who don't actually have a ministerial office, like an acolyte or one of the sacred ministers of Mass, but they're there in the chancel stalls or choir stalls inside the sanctuary. And so there's official manner in which they are supposed to attend the Mass from there. And this is also explained by rubricians, those who are experts on rubrics for the laws of the liturgy. And the word rubric comes from the word rubrica, which means in the red, because in the liturgical books, what is to be said is printed in black, and what is to be done is printed in red.
Right.
And that's where that term came from, rubric. Yes, Lisa?
Just said love it.
She thinks that's cool, Lewis.
The book, cool, yes, okay. So one of the main book I would recommend to people who want to read further about the choir ceremonies, and choir in this case does not refer to the choir loft. It refers to the true choir, which is the choir of clergy in the sanctuary itself.
Oh.
And we can go into that in some other point a little more. But the book I would like to recommend is, again, by J.B. O'Connell, The Celebration of Mass, The Study of the Roman Missal. It was reprinted by Preserving Christian Publications. It's available from them, available from Angelus Press. So that's where you actually see rubricians talking about all the little particular details that the clergy are supposed to be doing when they're attending Mass. And so when do they bow? When do they do this? When do they do that? So then this gets into the principle that we have to understand that the solemn form of Mass, and what we mean by solemn form, sometimes in America you hear it called solemn high Mass,
right.
is when you have the celebrant, the deacon, and the subdeacon, and then you have the various inferior ministers, which are all the acolytes, whether it's the master of ceremonies all the way down to torchbearer, And then, of course, you have the scola, the liturgical scola, which are men and boys singing the propers, the official liturgical chant. So in the solemn form, you get to see all the offices properly distributed for the carrying out of the holy sacrifice and the Mass. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there they presume that you have clergy and choir who are participating. So you have to understand that the solemn form of Mass is the most complete or perfect form of the traditional Roman Mass.
Right.
Not the low Mass. So unfortunately, a lot of people end up referring to low Mass constantly and without realizing it. Low Mass is nothing more than the abbreviated abbreviated recited form of solemn Mass. And high Mass itself is a hybrid between the two.
So
which has been allowed because you don't have the deacon and subdeacon possibly available, but you can at least have the celebrant who can sing the Mass, and therefore they allow the use of incense. So it's from solemn Mass that we have to apply the particular rubrics to low Mass. So there's another principle we have to know, and that is usually when you're singing something,
yes,
you stand.
Okay.
So you stand to sing. And the reason for that is it's just easier to sing when you're standing. Okay?
Okay.
But that's the general principle there. I mean, there are some exceptions, of course. So at solemn Mass, the choir rubrics are clearly delineated that the clergy and choir do not kneel until after the Sanctus has been completed, being sung.
Okay.
And this will include even if that... a polyphonic Mass, for instance, often the Sanctus and the Benedictus parts are actually separated on each side of the consecration, you might say. So you have the Sanctus at the beginning, and then after the consecration, they continue with Benedictus, Quiveni, De Nomine Domini. And that's because those polyphonic pieces are so long. You know, you'd be there for, the priest would be standing there waiting for 10 to 15 minutes just to be able to consecrate.
Right.
Because waiting for the piece to finish. So, so, apply to low Mass. So, here's the difficulty. So, at solemn Mass or at high Mass, you always should be sing, you should always be standing until the Sanctus is done being sung, and then you would kneel down.
Right, then you hit your knees.
Right. And by the way, so this is also clear by the rubricians who speak about how do the laity assist at Mass, that they are following, generally speaking, what the clergy and choir are doing.
Well, do you cover any of this on Romanitas Press? Do you have a blog about it, or will you now? I don't know.
Eventually, yes. These are some things I have addressed to some degree on other occasions.
Okay.
I touch on it briefly in a set of articles that I did concerning the dialogue Mass, which is something else we can speak about at some other point, and that concerns low Mass, of course. That doesn't concern the sung Mass.
Right.
But returning to the low Mass, so the question is, typically you'll see, you know, you're attending low Mass, you've been sitting at the offertory, and suddenly you hear the three bells rung for the Sanctus, and everyone hits their knees.
Right.
There's a giant clatter throughout the entire church.
Yes.
And it deafens. You can't even hear the priest saying at the altar the Sanctus. And this is really kind of unfortunate because the Sanctus is one of the most solemn and awesome moments of the Mass. It joins the preface in opening up the canon to us, which, of course, leads to the consecration itself, the climax of the Mass.
Right.
The ideal way would be to actually stand during the preface. So as soon as the priest says, Dominus Vobiscum, everybody would stand, then you have that little dialogue, and then there's the actual preface, and then he says the Sanctus, and everyone crosses himself, and then once he's finished the Sanctus, then everyone kneels. So then everyone gets to really, you might say, enjoy that enormous solemn moment,
mm-hmm,
of the Sanctus, which is just supposed to be very climatic in a way.
Right.
And that would be the ideal way of doing that, and that has been done in some chapels.
Okay. I like that better.
I like that better than just standing at the Sanctus, because the preface is really, again, the Sanctus and the Sanctus is really just the completion of the preface, if you think about it. If you're looking at the text at the end of the preface, typically they're saying, which the angels then exalt, Sanctus, 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 Sanctus.
Okay,
yeah.
Got
so
it.
It's really one and the same thing, except that the fact that the Sanctus is sung by the faithful, or at least should be, in union with the Schola. So that's so the you might say the priest, the celebrant, opens this dialogue, says this beautiful preface of exalting God's attributes, you know, thanking him and preparing us for this solemn moment. And then the angels from heaven, so to speak, kind of open up heaven for us. And then there we are at the canon.
Yeah.
So the general rule of thumb I'm hearing is basically sung mass, low mass, either or. After the Sanctus is when you should probably hit your knees. But it's sort of a fluid thing. I mean, sometimes the pastor will say he doesn't want it that way. And he's at liberty to do that, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, the difficulty you run into is that, you know, some of these places are accustomed to doing it a certain way for such a long time. So the pastor then has to decide, you know, he has to make a prudential decision. He's like, is this the time to do this or not? Will this work or not? Is it going to cause more problems than we really need? You know, do I have bigger fish to fry at this time?
Okay.
You know, because at this time, the priest might be concentrated, the pastor might be concentrated on something else that's really far more important. I mean, like I said, don't get your scapular or not over it. This is a more ideal way of doing it, but, you know, no one's going to hell over this.
Right.
All right. It's just a matter of that, yeah, if you're able to do it a little bit better, then and if the pastor approves, then so be it.
Fantastic.
Unfortunately, what you run into in a lot of places when it comes to traditional Roman Mass, you get these people who get so hidebound to, well, that's the way I grew up, that's the way it was, and that's the way Sister So-and-so taught us, or Monsignor Holier Than Thou. And and I'm just like, well, yeah, maybe they were doing that, but that doesn't mean that was the best way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were problems before Vatican II, you know,
yeah.
Right.
as well.
Yeah.
So, and I would like to go to further emphasize this point, because you'll get some people maybe, well, low mass is my private thing I'm doing anyways, and I'd like to remind people that you know, the Mass is part of the what we call the liturgy.
Right.
And the word liturgy comes from the Greek word liturgia, which means to render a public service. And in this case, we're talking about the church's official means of worshiping God. And that the Mass is a social action. And this is the Catholic attitude. We're not Protestants where we're all doing our own little individual thing. We're all supposed to be commonly united to
exactly.
the sacrificial liturgy.
Exactly.
With the priest who's leading us, you know, that's why he has his back turned to us, so to speak. He leads us to God.
Oh,
and,
I love that.
And I would like to offer to the readers, if you really want to better understand the philosophical and theological reasons for properly participating during the sacred liturgy, one of the best pieces I've ever seen out there, it's available at sspx.org, so the website of the Society St. Pius X.
Uh-huh.
It is an article written by Father Michael Simoline. It was featured in the Angelus in March of 1997. And just type in the word attendance, but the full title of the article is Attendance and Participation at Mass.
Ah.
And it's an excellent piece, quotes St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine. It goes into explaining the five reasons that St. Thomas Aquinas says why, based on the virtue of religion, we should be doing what's called "quote unquote" active participation, and for people who get a that get their scapular or not over that word because they think it's Novus Ordo,
right.
those are St. Pius X's actual words: active participation and axiosa participiosa. And in fact, a better rendering is even actual participation, not even active, actual. And St. Pius X is saying, look, you shouldn't. The ideal that the church wants you to follow is to conform yourself to the liturgical action, to the public service, the public worship of God. We do this not only with our minds, but we also do this with our bodies, and we also do it with our lips. And so the lip part especially was the restoration of Gregorian chant.
Right.
And so you know, again, I put a punch out there to, you know, get people to, you know, singing is a Catholic thing.
Yes.
And we should, if you're capable of doing it, you should definitely try to, you know, we're in a period where we're trying to regain our Catholic culture. Mm-hmm. It's been lost. I had to learn all these chants once upon a time too.
I can tell you, we're running low on time, so we got to get moving along here. But I got to tell you, I tried. I really wanted to the other day. I'm all alone. Lisa took the kids to go get Joseph at summer camp, so I'm by myself in the studio here. Thought I would try and do Ave Maria. Tried 5 times. You never want to hear me sing Ave Maria. Trust me. I'm just saying. So, Louis Dofari from Romanitas Press. Go check it out, romanitaspress.com. We're going to get a link up to your site up on our site at magnificatmedia.com. We're going to take a break and come back because I got a whole other question for you. We're getting two whammies from you today. How about that, Louis?
That sounds great. And you know what? I needed to take a moment anyways, because you got to take a tree-hugging moment every once in a while because Pope Francis with Laudato Si. Oh, I need to go out and hug my favorite tree in the backyard and eat some love.
Don't you like that?
I think everybody should do this, but if you live in the desert, be careful of the cactus.
Yes.
This is Louis Dofari. And by the way, he's going to write about when to kneel, and it's going to be called What's the Deal? When Do We Kneel? That's his article.
Sounds great title.
All right, we're going to take this break and come back. Mike and Lisa Austin here on Magnificat Radio, magnificatmedia.com. We are
living our faith.